Ready? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Funkhauser?
I have a list to run through a roll call, but if we could just check. I can't see who all is on the meeting at the moment.
I'll do a roll call, okay. And Marlis is here, and she can mark down for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Funkhauser?
Here.
Tree is here.
Absence.
Schultz?
Here.
Juarez?
Is that Torrance?
Torrance, I'll take Torrance. Mike Torrance?
Yeah.
Here. Deborah Juarez? Okay. Jeff Olson? No. Billy McHugh?
Jeff Olson is here, but is muted.
Okay. Hey Jeff, if you can hear us, I need you to click the little microphone to unmute.
Muted.
I know. I talked to Deb this afternoon. Jeff says I'm on, it won't let me. I'm on mute.
So let him.
Okay.
Unmuted.
I just got an email from Jeff Olson. Says he's on, but I won't let him unmute.
Muted. I'm happy. I think I'm having tech issues when I'm pushing the unmute all participants. Nothing changes in the red is turning green for the microphones.
Starting, are you on? Okay, but you can't, it's not letting you speak. Yeah, so you can see Nick. For now, I guess you can just see their page. Okay, we're trying to do a roll call. So you're there, you just can't, no one can hear you. Okay, we're trying to get it fixed.
I'm pushing the unmute all participants.
No, you and Jeff Olson both can't hear, and it's very possible Dan Green's here as well. We're trying to get his name. Were you, Deb, I will give you a call. If we can fix this, that's great. If not, I will call you. Okay. Oh, it sounds like everybody's on. Can you hear everyone? Yes, you'll need to turn your volume on, or if you're using the phone.
I'm Jeff Olson.
Okay.
Regan Gowans, and I'm here.
Great.
Mike Torrance, I'm here.
Do you have speakers on your computer? Is it a laptop? Can you make one of the bottom right corner? Make sure.
Okay, so do we have
the
Billy McHugh with ring marker? Or Matt Manson?
The volume's all the way up. Like, if you put on a little speaker, it is. And you
Matt Manson's not committee meeting. Regan was
saying.
Okay.
Hold on one second.
Okay. And then I assume ring marker and Billy McHugh are not done.
Greg and Murray was involved, I think.
Greg was removed from the.
Yes,
we're in here. Okay.
Transfer
is here now,
but
I
want to hear
it.
Okay.
I'm trying to look up the. With that, then we
do have a more. Hold on, I'm working in Jeff's office.
Okay. All right. So can everyone, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
All right.
just send us a chat inside of the application, and then if that's not working as well, send either Christy or Jason or any one of us an email, and we'll just be checking our emails. So if you're having tech issues, just let us know. Yeah, thanks to everybody for joining our meeting today. So we need to go through sort of the current iteration of where we're at in the UDO process. We're going to go through a couple different things on our call today. We've already done it sort of around the table, but just to clarify, we also have Nick Davis from Hustle Beam, and then Jackie, who's the organizer for the meeting, Wells, and then also Christy and Jason. And then is there anybody else from the city? That's it, correct, Christy?
Correct.
All right, can you hear me?
Okay, yes. All right, so what we'll do is, if there's any question about if we go to webinar features, let us know. Otherwise, we'll just kind of dive right in.
Four numbers are here.
Review of the draft zoning district standards. We prepared a memo for staff that we had sent out and went back and forth with local vision. She's been providing rights for clarification. So Jackie's going to walk through that memo. So that's sort of the first component. The second component is we're going to actually review Chapter 3, this zoning district standards, and go through that document, address any questions or comments that you may have. And then the last step, the third component of this discussion today, which is going to be more of a schedule, kind of where we're at, and what our next steps look like. So with that, the first part, Jackie's going to walk us through the zoning district standards memo. That's going to include talking about the new district standards, the justification, the policy changes that we made. Mm-hmm. We're going to go over the zoning map, the districts that we're doing a realignment for, and then that proposed actual map. So again, if you have questions, please feel free to just kind of stop us along the way. We don't need to go chapter or section by section. And then we feel like we just want to get through certain pieces, we can do that. So we'll kind of leave that up to the group. So with that, Jen, okay, can you please walk through the memo?
Just procedurally, we have some meeting minutes from our last meeting. And they were going to approve those unless anybody had any comments.
Yeah, that would change the meeting. Okay, so you just can't.
So if I can get a motion to approve the November 14, 2019 minutes.
You know what we can do?
I heard a motion in a second. I think that was Deb on the second. Was that Torrance on the motion? Okay. No problem. And then, all in favor?
Aye.
A majority? Okay. And then just for procedure, I don't think we have any guesses from these citizens' comments, but I need to put it out there. Procedure to see if we have anybody. So I don't think there's anybody else on. So I'm sure Julie needs it. And then now I will turn it back to Jackie to continue with her part.
We have one more set of minutes to approve the June 13th.
Oh. And let's put that up to the June 13th as well.
So
and a second.
Second.
Okay. Roll call. We vote all in favor.
Aye.
And now we can turn it to Jackie, I believe.
Thank you.
All right. So the last one that was sent to Christy and Jason for review included draft Article 3, which is the establishment of the zoning districts, along with the dimensional standards of the districts and the permitted and special uses. So we included with that to approval a memo that kind of summarized all of those changes and really supported our proposed revisions to the city zoning districts through these maps. So what you're looking at here is the proposed zoning map. I'll start with a quick overview of our proposed changes to the zoning districts and then get into more detail on into each district as we review the subsequent maps. So we are proposing that the city's 16 zoning districts be reduced to 12. We're doing this by eliminating the E1 estate residential district, the B4 service business district, the O office, and recreation. So these are all districts that are either well-graduated by other existing districts or really aren't well-utilized. So we are recommending those be eliminated, and we are also recommending that the B2 retail district be repurposed for a mixed-use district and apply to the downtown area and some of the areas identified in the comprehensive plan for mixed use around the potential metro station. I am also recommending that a new public institutional district be established for institutional and civic uses, which Christy and Jason identified for us. So those are the turquoise color on the map. And you'll notice that this map doesn't include any PUDs. So we are recommending that underlying zoning be established for each PUD, and that although the persons will have underlying zoning, they'll still be governed by their PUD ordinances, and we'll continue to reject them on the map with an overlay, but they will, those underlying ordinances will still prevail until they are terminated, revoked, or expired, or something like that. Any questions on the overall overview?
No.
Okay. Moving on to the R1 district. So we are proposing that the R1 district retain the majority of the existing R1 parcels, but then also be combined with some of the estate residential and some of those PUD parcels as well. So these are parcels that were designated as a state or conservation residential in the future land use map, and are in proximity to other R1 designated parcels. Moving on to the R2 district. The R2 district is proposed to include the majority of the existing R2 designated parcels, as well as E1 and PUD parcels that are identified by the city in the future land use map as estate and conservation residential that are in proximity to the R2 district. We are also recommending that there is a little group, a little neighborhood of R2 parcels, of existing R1 parcels that are much more in line with the dimensional standards of the R2 district. So we are recommending this little neighborhood here be rezoned to the R2. Proposed PI district. So these
jump in real quick?
Of course.
Yeah, Chris is correct. There are three parcels there on the south side of that road that are currently being requested to be subdivided, and the original kind of marketplace plans calls them to be townhomes. And that's kind of going, you know, or the request process right now. So Chris is right, those three probably don't want it in R2 because they will not be found in family.
So three parcels south.
And the fourth parcel all the way and stuff, that's just a retention pond.
Yeah.
District, and we will be adding a changes to the R1 and the R2 districts' dimensional standards. So using a bit of lot size and lot width requirements. So these revisions are based on a non-conformities analysis that was delivered to staff back in January. And that analysis compared the lot area and lot width minimum requirements as they're established in the existing zoning code with actual problem patterns on the ground. And that was several to right size these dimensional standards to help minimize non-conformities whenever possible. Also, the analysis for the R1 district revealed that about 83% of the parcels didn't meet the minimum lot area requirement and 72% didn't meet the lot width requirements. So we tested some new minimums and found that a 12,000 square foot lot area and an 80 foot lot width best suited the existing development pattern. And then for the R2 district, the analysis revealed that 42% of parcels were less than the minimum lot area, and 32% were less than the minimum lot width. So after we tested the new alternatives, we found that a 10,000 square foot lot area and 75 foot lot width would best suit the existing development pattern. And to zoom out a little on the table and see the whole thing, are there any questions on these revisions?
I have a question. So we took the zoning for the density out of this chart. Where are we going to be applying for the density in? I guess that when you went through that.
Sure. So the minimum lot size requirement ensures that you have, that's where you also can control density is through that. So with the 10,000 square foot lot minimum in the R2, that would be about 4 dwelling units per acre max density. And then when you get to the R2G or the R3 districts, you have not only the minimum lot size, but also the minimum lot size per dwelling unit. So you have a 9,000 square foot lot size per dwelling unit. So if you wanted a side-by-side or a duplex, you would need a minimum lot size of 18,000 square feet, and that would bring you pretty close to that max density of 4.8.
So is the intention to eliminate the density number from this plan in its entirety and solely go by lot size?
Yes.
Okay. Issue I have with that multifamily lot size is relatively irrelevant in townhomes, duplexes, and apartments. So establishing density based on a lot square footage, which is arbitrary based on broader size, doesn't afford you much in order to try to create that standard, I think.
So that's why we're recommending that minimum lot size per dwelling unit. So if you have your lot size is truly dependent on the number of units you're going to have in your building. So you can't just cram in as many units as you can on your 50,000 square foot lot. You have to account for each unit in that lot size. And that will be most crucial for seeing those multifamily products.
It does, but you start to get into issues. Apartments are not necessarily always going to fit onto a 15,000 square foot unit. And that's where you start running into some of the issues in some of the products. It limits the ability to be creative and work with different products, different solutions for trying to accommodate the density. That's where I'm looking at. This could be a little challenging in higher density ones. I don't really have an issue with it for the single family, but multifamily, not having a set of density or my lot size.
size for that building would be 15 times 7, which unfortunately I can't do in my head.
And that's where I get to that it becomes so much arbitrary in terms of the size of the lot, essentially. It wouldn't necessarily relate to what you would particularly want to do in terms of planning. If you're going through that process, you have to create a lot based on a square footage per unit. Seems to be a little more cumbersome and awkward once you start getting into the details of planning, especially if you're going into, your determination of if you're condoing, if you're changing the methodology of how you want to actually plan. That's where I see that being a little cumbersome.
Okay, I guess I understand the intent of what we're trying to accomplish. I can see what you're saying. I don't know that I've seen that become an issue when we've done this before, but I guess, do we want to take a look at this with staff and just make sure that you're able to do what we're intending to be able to do and go from there?
That might be the way to work around it, is just make sure that on the multifamily, that accomplishing what we want to do in terms of the flexibility is still there.
Okay.
Any other questions on the local commercial standards before we move on to the permitted uses? All right. Okay, so you'll notice these tables are a little bit difficult to read just because of the different colors. So the blue text is text that we're recommending, and the red text is deleted text. So the districts have all been revised to match the proposed district structure, and then we've kind of reassigned permitted uses based on staff recommendation, as well as how we are recommending the districts to be kind of reassigned or reutilized. We are also introducing some new uses, including accessory dwelling units, which are included here as dwelling comma secondary, and then a whole new table for the adult use cannabis related uses, and matching the ordinance that the city recently passed. Are there any questions on the permitted or special uses? Thank you.
something like very short lane. We'll work with staff on just making sure that the densities for multifamily aren't removing your flexibility or making it difficult when you're planning or lotting. Just to make sure that, that's working.
I would be interested to hear what you thought, how size is going to be. but not colossally small.
That's why I'm bringing it up. Chris Funkhauser had mentioned it to me, and I know our internal conversations as well. When we redid the zoning ordinance back in 2014, there was a desire to go to a smaller lot size than the 12,000 square foot for R2. Staff had to explore options with that committee to look at maybe doing conservation zoning and do a 10,000 square foot lot a little bit smaller, and there was a large pushback from that committee. So when staff discussed this with the consultant, they had originally proposed somewhere between 8,000, I believe, and
8 to 10.
Yeah, 8 to 10,000. And so we expressed that pushback that we had, and so we said let's err on the side of 10,000 square foot for an R2 lot. But if there is a desire to go smaller in lot size, this is the time to discuss that.
Christina, they ever use our distance from the lot line to the next structure?
Well, so what you would have is your setbacks that would dictate what the distance is. So I don't believe for the R2 that they adjusted any setbacks. What happened is the lot width went from 80 feet to 75 feet for an R2 district, and the setbacks are still the same, 30 feet for front, 40 feet for rear, and 10 for interior. So you would have, at the least a 20-foot building separation.
The reason I brought this was looking at something like urban subdivision, or urban meadows, this small plus separate home there. My thought was, and this is something that had been discussed, was doing a traditional residential in the range of 6,000 to 8,000 square feet. I understand completely where the pushback is on a conservation small lot development, but the alternative to have small lot traditional would be something that is probably palatable to age targeted in senior living, it's a move up type of product to have in inventory.
Would you be open to creating a new zoning district in between, say, the R2 and R3? That would...
I would be.
Okay.
At least to create, to look at it and see how it fits in. I mean, it may not sit, but if you're willing to look at maybe an R2, whatever you want to call it, something that fits in between those two.
Or the other option is to make the R2 an 8,000 square foot district, minimum district. And I think we would then be more in compliance with what we have existing now. I think the nonconformities would go down to like less than 20%, as opposed to at 10,000 square feet, we were at probably trying to find out five. Probably
higher than that. That makes sense. I still probably want to see it as a separate line item initially. Just to see if it has implications to the setbacks, the lot coverage, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So R2 at 10,000 square feet, we would have a non-conformity of about 13%. And then if we went to an 8,000 square foot lot minimum, we would have a 7% of non-conforming parcels. So, so those that are within that 8,000 square foot lot area minimum, they could be within that newly created zoning district.
I think it's a good option for us to take a look at.
Okay. We'll do that.
The comment that Alderman Funk
density, the lot versus the unit. And I think Jack and I, we had that same discussion, and I came around to what you proposed to Jackie, but I think it would be helpful to show a visual of how that would work. So maybe the current ordinance under the density versus what we're proposing using units to address those concerns. And I think it would be even more beneficial when we engage the smart vote.
Welcome to the population. You have entered us.
And it's built in there, so we wouldn't have that kind of, you know, I think it's this as a staff and the developer thinks it's this. We can put those preferences already into the calculations with the smart code.